Turn again to Daniel chapter 2. These simple words begin the chapter in the second year of his reign. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. Do you know what it is to miss a night of sleep? Do you know what it is to have those hours pass by and you watch the clock? Or maybe you're there with your eyes closed and you listen to the tick-tick, or there's that hourly, or in some homes I guess it's quarterly, cuckoo or bells or chimes or something, and the hours go passing on, one after the other. There is that sense of passing the night. How many have had that experience? Often passing those long nights. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Here is the greatest king of the world, and he can't sleep. Here he is in the very beginning of his reign, and he has all the organizational genius that's been put behind him, and he has all this together, and he's the great king of the great empire of the world. King Nebuchadnezzar. But his mind is so troubled, he can't sleep. Much like the world that we live in. It entertains itself to death with all the amusements. Why can't the world sleep? And I believe as we read through Daniel chapter 2, we find that the world in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, as it is in our day, it's a world that is bankrupt. Look at chapter 1 again. It tells us of the glory and power and the genius of the great empire of Babylon. And then we come to chapter 2, and there this curtain is drawn back, and we see a man who is the king of it all, but he can't sleep. What's changed? What has come about? Is there another great empire that's going to attack them? Is it those Jews? Somehow or another, they're going to cause trouble, and there's this problem that's come up. What has changed? If you could look at the whole scene in that day, you would see that nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing as far as the outward circumstances. Nebuchadnezzar was just as firmly in the saddle that morning when he got up as any day before. But there was a dream that was ever bit as effective as 9/11 was on our own country. It disturbed everything. It changed everything. Nobody could sleep. Not just Nebuchadnezzar, but after that dream, everyone was troubled. This one dream caused such an uproar that no one was sleeping. Everything and everyone was in an uproar. I'd ask for you to look at this chapter as you've heard it read to you. Look and see the insecurity of this world that we live in. Nebuchadnezzar had it all you could ever dream of having: power, fame, influence. His empire is known to our day. Those gardens of Babylon, those great things of an army, the power and influence. But he had a dream. Now he's filled with trouble and he can't sleep. Look through the chapter and see what happens here. Why is it that he can't sleep? The answer is that old Nebuchadnezzar was a man whose heart was set on goals that would prove in the long run to be just mirages of the desert. All that he was grasping, all that he had, was going to be utterly destroyed and done away with. It was going to pass away. Though it was very great, it would be as nothing. And the world in our own day has all of its dreams. But they're all things that disappear. They pass away. It matters not whether we are rich or poor, among the haves or the have-nots. In either case, the cares of this world, as Jesus says, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things destroy our peace. Those of you who have an abundance and plenty, you come to be anxious that you might lose it all. You want a guarantee that you'll have it right to the very end. And those who don't have, they're troubled until they have what the haves already have. And people live troubled lives. So long as we live life on this plane, we'll be with anxieties that are constantly within us. A restlessness. As Scripture tells us, there is no peace to those who have their hearts set on the things of this world, because this world is bankrupt. There is an insecurity in this world that can't be overcome without the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that Prince of Peace. But notice also the world's anger. It's interesting, as you see King Nebuchadnezzar, he has this insecurity that's very much a part of him, and it seems illogical that he would be so insecure with all the things that he had. But it was reality. But also notice this angry reaction that he has. He has no peace with God. He has no peace with himself. And therefore he doesn't have peace with others. Look at verse 9 with me. There we read how if he speaks here to those wise men, if you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there's not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No, king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Now, here was this anger. He knows he's asking the impossible, but he becomes angry when they're not able to deliver. We know, as we read, there is a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar's wrath and anger is a striking illustration of something that God is constantly pointing out to us in His Word. Psalm 76:10, a good verse to at least memorize its direction, its location, its address. Psalm 76:10 tells us, surely your wrath against men brings you praise. And then it says, the survivors of your wrath are restrained. Now, God, in an amazing way, takes even the wrath of men and makes it praise Him. His wrath should have been poured out upon them. But here again, He brings, in an amazing way, God's kingdom to pass. He uses it to promote His kingdom. Men like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, in an amazing way, are promoted even through the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar. Even the most powerful rulers of the world are pitiful figures in God's sight. With all their wrath and fury, God but takes their wrath and fury and causes it to praise Him. What fear and anxiety they have and live with. Insecurities. They're utterly bankrupt. Just like our world is today, that we live in. And yet, don't you think it's strange how bankrupt our world really is, and yet it seems like the leaders of the world keep handing out the same prescription year after year. Keep on seeking wisdom and help and salvation from men. Great men, wise men, other men, scientists, medical world, any great group of men, and salvation is always sought there. Seek the sources. Help comes from the wise men of this age. Ignore that there is a God in heaven. The world hasn't changed much from Nebuchadnezzar's day. The Babylon of that day certainly is much like America today. Human wisdom will never put it all back together again. Humpty Dumpty has fallen and broken to pieces. And all the king's men will never put him back together again. Only the God in heaven can give us direction and wisdom for life. Look at verse 2 of Daniel 2. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, like the four faculties, the four departments of great wisdom of the University of Babylon, to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, there they realize, after he makes his demands upon them, they're not going to be sleeping. No one's going to be sleeping when Nebuchadnezzar is not sleeping. And he puts his fury upon them. And you realize they're bankrupt. They have really no place to turn. The king is without help. The world that we live in is without help. And yet, as we heard this passage read this morning, I hope it is an amazing grace that you see here, that God intervenes. God comes in to the situation. God comes and shows mercy. The Lord's intervention is very important against the backdrop of the bankruptcy of this world. Think of those who were living in fear. Those men sent to bang on the doors and pull them out to be executed. Their houses were to be brought to rubble. They knew what the decree had been. They knew the horror of the anger of the king. And yet God intervenes. The matter is serious. Look at verses 17 and 18. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, I would just point out here, there certainly could have been an all-night discussion on what to do. But they prayed for God's mercy to be shown. God, of course, reveals it to Daniel, this dream and the interpretation of that dream. But the very first place was that of prayer for them. And then notice how God sends him to stand before the king. And this is that pattern that God has, whether it's the stories of Joseph, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or even John the Baptist, or the Lord Christ himself. They stand before the rulers of the earth, it would seem like, before men, and proclaim to them the truth. We are to stand before the great of the land to bear witness to God's truth in our day. Nebuchadnezzar was a man that had such great power, and yet Daniel stood before him. And first of all, notice, Daniel spoke with wisdom. Verse 15, excuse me, he has that wisdom. Notice all the way back to verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. And this wisdom and tact is needed in our day. We need that. He spoke with, as the Hebrew word, tam, that wisdom, that taste, as it's translated elsewhere. It has to do with judgment, discernment. He had that taste of things. As we would speak, someone has good taste in clothes, or someone really knows the taste of good food. They can enjoy it. He had a tam, a taste, a wisdom for speaking to Arioch. Daniel prayed also. You know that pattern of his life from having read the whole of the book. He was one who prayed for the mercies of God. Daniel intervened, even as he prayed for God's cause. He intervened. Look at verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. He went, and it wasn't just that he had these things and he could tell what was going to happen, but he went to the king to intervene on the behalf of those who were going to be put to death. And yet there is a certain humility. He doesn't claim that I figured all this out. It is not I. I'm a man of humility. And he was there as one who intervened for others, and yet he did it in the name of the true and living God. And then notice also how Daniel had that spirit of worship. He gave thanks for the revelation and interpretation that he was given. Look at verse 20. Praise be to the God, the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and power. You've made known to me what we ask of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king. He acknowledged God's eternal power and wisdom. He acknowledged how God governs history. He acknowledges this wonderful way in which God gave to him this dream and its interpretation. One more element of Daniel's. Look at verse 28 again. That verse gives us a sense that he had courage, but there is a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar had already said, yes, or excuse me, those other wise men had already spoken of how the gods don't live among men. And here was this, a God who is in heaven has spoken. Our God gives the dream and the interpretation of the dream. He speaks not only with humility, but also with courage. We need Daniels today. Sometimes we think, oh, if only we had a great deal more influence or money or whatever. Our greatest need is to be those who are with that spirit of Daniel, with courage, to have that wisdom, that spirit of prayer, that worship like Daniel long ago. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone for the truth of God. It should be our prayer, whether it's as young people or those with many years. God, make me a Daniel. Make me faithful to the Word of God. But as we come to the end of our message this morning, maybe you still have that question, but Pastor, how do I sleep at night? What is the help for my insecurities? What is the help that I need for my anger, for all those things that cause distress all through the night for me? And there it is again, verse 28. There is a God in heaven. We sleep in His hands. Real sleep is in the Lord. We rest in Him. We don't play back the whole of the world. We don't solve all the difficulties of our life. The circumstances do change, and you change. But God remains the same forever. He has said, I am the Lord, I change not. And we are in His hands. Therefore, we can sleep at night. Therefore, we have peace in our hearts and our minds. We have that real security, not in our possessions or our power or our position, but we have it in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can sleep and rest secure in Him. There is a God in heaven who cares for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we do bow our heads in Your presence, and we acknowledge that You are the true and living God in heaven. And we thank You that You care for us. You care for us at night when we sleep, and we can truly rest in You, knowing that You will care for us. We thank You that that One who is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, that One who is truly the Everlasting Father to His people, is the Prince of Peace. And we can sleep, we can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ always. We ask, Lord, for Your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, Amen.